Open your book, if you will, to the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Bear with me a moment as I share something with you, and then we'll come to chapter 3. He's an old man now. It's been a long journey from fishing the waters of the Sea of Galilee to this barren island to which he has been banished because of his testimony for the resurrected Christ. He would never forget the day that Jesus from Nazareth came by the boat where he and his brother were helping their dad wash nets after a long night of fishing. And Jesus said to them simply, "Follow me." Now, he had met Jesus, and with Andrew, he had heard John the Baptist point him out as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But that day, when Jesus came by and said, "Follow me," they just did it. They just left everything and followed him. What a simple beginning to such an amazing journey. In the earliest days of the church, his older brother had been executed by Herod. It had stirred a fervency in the church, and he himself was stirred to serve the Lord more fervently and be like his big brother. He had fulfilled his assignment to take care of the Lord's mother. But she's gone now. In fact, they're all gone. Peter, Andrew, Philip, Matthew, all of them. Even Paul. Oh, there are many of the younger fellows who serve the same Lord, and they're a blessing. But there are no others left who walked the shores of Galilee and walked the streets of Jerusalem with Jesus. Here among these criminals, he works as he can and witnesses to the prisoners. Yet he still feels forsaken and forgotten. But he'll not let his circumstances control his convictions. It's the Lord's day. And his persecutors cannot prevent him from worshiping. Even in adversity, he can be in the Spirit. And he is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And there's someone who has not forgotten him. And Jesus says, "Father, I'm going to go see my old friend, John." About that time, John heard a loud voice behind him, clear and brilliant and distinct as a trumpet. That little old Isle of Patmos had never heard the likes of that before or since. The voice identified himself as the Alpha and Omega and told him to write to 7 of the churches over in Eastern Asia. When John turned to see the voice, he saw 7 candlesticks, and in the midst of them, he saw someone he hadn't seen for almost 60 years. He fell on his face to worship his Savior and dearest friend, Jesus. Jesus helped him to his feet and said, "Now, John, come on. We have work to do. I want you to write to these churches." Now, John knew the churches. He knew all of them. It was the grand success of his pastoring the church at Ephesus that had gotten him banished to Patmos. Jesus told him to get his pen and start writing. To the church at Ephesus. Oh, he knew that church. He loved those folks and they loved him. It seems they may have loved their pastor more than they loved Jesus. Or maybe they loved Jesus only because their pastor loved him. At any rate, they did not have the one-on-one relationship with Jesus that the Lord wanted them to have. And he told them they'd left their first love. To the church at Smyrna, oh, they're good people. John must have almost wept as he thought about their suffering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for remembering the folks over at Smyrna. To the church at Pergamos. Now that's a bad church. No rebuke would be too strong for that bunch. The Lord tells him to tell them, if they don't straighten up, he himself is going to come and fight against them. To the church at Thyatira. John had known Lydia from this city. And who did not remember that wonderful lady? And to think that now, that same church she was from tolerates a woman in that church who is, as God calls her, a Jezebel. Unbelievable. To the church at Sardis, their reputation far exceeds their real spiritual condition. People think they're a live church, going church, but they're almost dead. And the Lord says, John, tell them they better wake up. To the church at Philadelphia, a smile crosses John's face. What a sweet, kind, loving people. Everyone who visits there speaks of their love for God's servants. They're almost too nice. They're nice to everybody. Even people that perhaps they shouldn't be so nice to. And the Lord tells them to continue going through the open doors. And then to the church of the Laodiceans. Well, Lord, that's a different greeting. It's that, like the Lord says, well, it's their church. It's not mine. They have me on the outside. I'm knocking on the door trying to get in. Write to them and tell them I'm outside knocking on the door. That I want in. But Lord, John says, it's a wealthy church. They sure do pay their pastor well. They take good care of him, give big offerings to the evangelists when they come by. Jesus said, I know they think they have it all together. And they don't have need of anything. They think they've found their place in the world. But the truth is, the world's found its place in them. And they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Write it, John. Tell them they make me sick. They're trusting their money instead of me. I love them, but it's time they open the door and get me back in their church and make it my church. Let's visit that church. Verse 14, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Two things I say about the church at Laodicea. Very simple. First of all, I want you to see its location. It's about 100 miles east of Ephesus, into the interior of what we now call Turkey. It's west of the little city of Colossae, to whom Paul wrote, about 15 miles west of the city of Colossae. On the north, there's a city called just north of the city. There's another little town up on the hills called Hierapolis. And south of the city, it is bordered by high mountains that much of the year have snow on them. The water from the south flowed down the north side of the mountain from the cold, refreshing springs on the mountain and from the melting snow. And the streams flowed down from the mountains into that high desert valley to the city of Laodicea. To the north is a hot springs spa. We might relate to Hot Springs, Arkansas, or White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, and it's much the same thing. Because for centuries, because of the mineral content of the water and the heat that it comes out of the ground with from the earth, it has been a place where people have gone for healings of all kinds of problems. Because of the mineral content and the natural heat that is in the water. And for centuries, people have done that and still do it today. Pamukkale is the name of the place. And the cliffs have, as the waters come down, it's formed natural pools of beautiful white hillside and water with steam coming up from it. And the formations are absolutely magnificent. Still there today. And they overflow those reservoirs that are naturally formed in the mountains. And the water flows down and down into the valley and down to Laodicea. In the valley between the hot springs to the north, the hot healing streams to the north, and the cool, refreshing streams from the south, lies the city of the Laodiceans. And in that city is the church. That's the location. And I want you to keep that in mind, particularly between the mountains to the south. I guess that'd be that way, wouldn't it? To the south. And the hot springs to the north. Now, may I say to you that both are desirable. And both are what a church ought to be. A church ought to be a warm place that has the content that people can come and lives can be changed. And there ought to also be in a church a freshness and a coolness and a refreshing that people, when they come in, sense that they are loved and cared for. I've often said this. Some churches are like this. If you come, fine. If you don't come, fine. If you want to, it's all right. We're here. Come on in. If you don't want to, that's your business. Just stay out. Other churches are like this. This is our church. This is our church. Would you mind moving? That's where I always sit. I've been sitting there for 25 years. Fact is, if you'll look under the seat, it's got my name on it. I bought this seat. What a refreshment it is to find churches like this. Y'all come in. Or you folks come in. Or you guys come in. But we want you. You're welcome here. And there is the refreshness, the refreshing of the warmth. It's just like a cool drink of water when you go into a place like that. It just refreshes you. Now, both are good. And interestingly enough, a church can at the same time be a place of cool refreshing. But it can also be a place of warm healing at the same time. Now, some people think that what happens here is that the two mix together. And whenever the two mix together, it loses its impact. Because they mix together, the coolness mixes together with the warmness, and they mix together and become lukewarm. But that's not the picture here at all. I want you to see, second of all, not only the location of Laodicea, but I want you to see the lukewarmness of the church. I want you to end that to, first of all, see the content of the water. Now, at Pamukkale, where the hot springs are, which that is the location, that's what they're called, Pamukkale. The name means cotton and the whiteness of the hillsides that you can see for miles. It's so distinct and just jumps out at you, and it looks like a snow-covered mountain, but it's not. It's the production of the formation that these hot springs have produced. From Pamukkale, the mineral water content flows down into the valley. Now, as it flows into the valley, the content of the water does not change. Now, may I say this? That churches and individuals who were once on fire, we use that word. I think it comes from Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit, like as tongues of fire, came and set upon them. They were on fire. And of course, we use that for anybody that's passionate about something. They're on fire about that thing. Whenever there was a warmth in the church, and now it is not so much that way, it's not that their doctrine has changed. That's not always true. Even churches who have gone away from God into apostasy, if you go back and read the doctrinal statement of their church, which is still in their records, you will find that you agree with 99% of it. The content of this is the same. As the refreshing springs flow from the mountains south of the city and they flow down into the valley, there is nothing about the content that changes. The water is pure. The water is clear. It does not change. The problem at Laodicea was not the doctrinal content of the church. The problem at Laodicea was the condition of the water. You see what has happened from the hot springs, the water has flowed down into the valley. And Jesus uses this that they know well at Laodicea. Whenever he writes to Laodicea, they know what takes place. It's the same water that the people get into at the spa at the top of the mountain where the water is coming out heated by the earth and from the warm temperature deep within the earth. They identify with that. But whenever that water flows down the mountain, by the time it gets down into the valley, it's lukewarm. And it has lost its effectiveness, not because the content of the water has changed, but because the heat has dissipated. Do you get that in your own life? Do we get that as a church? It's not that we have denied the faith. It's not that we've gone astray doctrinally. None of that whatsoever. It's simply that we have cooled off. And what used to be fresh, and what used to be refreshing to people when they came into the church, has now gotten into the warm valley, and it's warmed up until it's just a fake. We greet people and we say we love people and we talk to people and everything like that. But, you know, doesn't it just irritate you for somebody to get up and act like they love you and you know they don't mean it? And to try to act like, oh, we're having a wonderful time, and oh, this is just so much fun, and oh, we're just having... I'm not talking about the real presence of the Holy Spirit to refresh our lives and to restore us, but I'm talking about just putting on something, make the music loud and get it going just for the sake of acting like we can forget about everything else and deny the power thereof. It's not the content of the water. It's not that that pure stream from the mountains in the south. It's not that it's become polluted. It's not even that it's become muddied. It's just that it's not cool and refreshing. And the power to refresh is gone. It's just lukewarm. Did you ever get a hold of a bottle of water that you thought was cold? And here you picked it up and there was something in that, wasn't it? That's, I don't know. Well, I'm really thirsty. Open up and you start drinking. It's been sitting in the sun. And now, some people are like this. You know, I'm not particularly like this. I can drink hot coffee. Love hot coffee. I love iced coffee. But I hate lukewarm coffee. Now, Bob Leatherwood, Bob can fill up one of these things that big of a morning, and he'll drink it all day long. He'll drink it from hot to cooling off to warm to lukewarm till he just enjoys it all the way. I'm not like that. I'm not like, I can drink it cold. I can drink it hot. But I don't like that lukewarm. And God doesn't like this lukewarmness about the church. And Laodicea understood that. The church there understood that perfectly. I come finally to this. The cure for lukewarmness. pastor went to visit one of his members, a dear old man who was a good member of the church. It was in the days when they had a fireplace. And it was a cold fall evening. The old man had a fire going. Preacher knocked on the door. The fellow said, "Come in, pull up a chair." He pulled up a chair and they sat there and watched the fire. Without saying a word. The preacher, after a while, reached over and got the tongs that you use in a fireplace. And he reached in and he got one coal. And he pulled it out on the hearth. Hot coal. Released it and put the tongs up. They sat there for a little while. The heat began to dissipate. After a while, the smoke was going from it. It turned white on the outside. There was an ash sitting there. The old man looked over at the preacher. He said, "I got it." Preacher said, "God bless you, brother." Got up and left. What had happened? He saw what happened and how the cooling off process took place. Now, what's the cure for lukewarmness? What you do is, if you don't like the lukewarm, you know what you do? You get back to the source. That's the cure for lukewarmness. It doesn't have anything to do with the doctrinal position. Now, it may have to do with the doctrinal position, but it has to do with the doctrinal position that it needs to be taken care of. If it has to do with a sin, then it needs to be taken care of. But we need to get back to the source. You see, there's no problem at the source. Back up on the mountain, those springs and that melting snow, the water is as cool and as fresh and refreshing and crystal clear as it's ever been. It's too far from the source. And the hot healing waters that come out of the spa there in the springs to the north. Don't judge the springs by what you see down in the valley. You get back up to the source, the water's just as hot as it ever was. The waters are just as healing as they ever were. Get back to the source. Oh, dearly beloved, we've got to get back. We've got to get back to our Bibles. We've got to get back to prayer. We've got to get back to soul winning. We've got to get back to caring for other people. We've got to get back to Jesus. Let the sun shine again. Let the flowers bloom again. Stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove, then embrace me again. Let the sun shine again in my heart. Let's stand together.